Sometimes we can really feel overwhelmed. Circumstances, what we're hearing about, good, not good news for family, perhaps for ourselves. Perhaps we're told you're no longer wanted at work. Perhaps a loved one walks out on us and we just seem to be overwhelmed. Things don't seem to be going right. We were sailing along quite smoothly, and then, without warning, the boat seems to be taking on water, starts leaking. And then when it doesn't seem that it could get any worse, it does. It does. And so the temptation is, well, abandon ship. Abandon ship. Give up. It's not worth it. But Jesus had a far, far better idea. I would like you to turn in the Word of God to Luke's Gospel and chapter 18. Luke 18, because I believe the Lord has got something very specific to say to you, and hopefully to me this morning from His Word. Hallelujah. So if you've got your Bible, hold it in your hand. And let's say, this is the Word of God. This is going to be a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Give me faith to understand it. Give me obedience to walk it out. Verse 1, then he spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. This morning, that test me, my heart was leaping inside because I knew it was confirmation of what I'm bringing to you this morning. Don't pray. Do pray, but don't lose heart. Don't give up. It might be a family member. It might be something else. And you've almost, you're fainting. As the Authorized Version says, to pray and not faint. Don't lose heart. God's still on the throne. Hallelujah. Saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Not a very nice guy. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Will he really find the faith on the earth? We're seeking to be a church of impact. Our groups are connect groups of impact. It's something that the Lord, I believe, gave me a few years back when I was in India. And by his grace, and the glory has to be his, we are truly seeking to be a church that not only impacts the believers, but also in our community. We need to, Lord. We need to, for the Lord to come down, for heaven to invade Crawley and around. The Church of Impact. Instruction in God's Word. We love this Word. We don't want to tamper with it. We don't want to water it down. We don't want to compromise. We want to be a Bible-believing church, individuals who take the Word of God seriously. We want to be instructed in God's Word. Hallelujah. M, we want to be mobilized so that for mission and so on. So each and every one has a gift. We use that gift for the glory of Jesus. That we're a faith-filled church. So, for example, this morning, if we are a faith-filled community, If you are born again of the Holy Spirit, that you have the Holy Spirit living within you, that Christ is your Lord. In this faith-filled community, a community which says, with God, there's nothing impossible. There's nothing too hard for Him. You, if somebody had come forward this morning and said, hey, Pastor, any prayer? I've got this pain. I've got this sickness. I've got this burden. And somebody, because we're a faith-filled community, says, hey, Pastor, I believe God has given me today a gift of healing. May not be a healer. No. But because you're faith-filled, because you're spirit-filled, because we're in the presence of the Lord Jesus, and because the Lord loves and wants to see that man, that woman, that boy, that girl set free, can give you that gift. Right then, you lay hands and the person is set free. I'm believing for that. I am believing for that. So any and every one of you who name the name of Jesus Christ, you've died to self. You're seeking to live for the glory of God. You may be a babe in Christ. You may be a mature Christian. God can use you there and then. Be faithful to the Lord and faithful to each other. That's just one of the gifts. Mobilizing mission. P, and this is what we're speaking about in a moment, prayer. Praying with faith. Please, Lord, deliver me from being a double-minded person. So if I'm on the waves and not really sure where to go, what to do, Lord, give me direction. Make me a sound person, a sound judgment, not tossed around. Praying with faith. Praying to a good God. Praying because faith pleases God. And I'm longing to see this church, this fellowship, become more and more prayerful and believing. We'll speak about that in a moment. And A, as we seek to do this morning in public gathering, but also we must do in our homes, family worship, or if we're on our own, singing to the Lord, making melody in our heart to Him, adoring Jesus with passionate worship. That's the A. Before anything else, we must love the Lord with all our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. Everything else flows out from our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Adoring Jesus passionately, fervently, with zeal. And then we can help ourselves that way. When we're doing the ironing or whatever, instead of watching perhaps something on the box or whatever, listening to good music, worship, hearing the word of God on our CDs, adoring God, and see, caring for each other, caring for one another. So another reason why we've implemented connect groups, while we're part of connect groups, so that love can be demonstrated in our care, in our help, in our love for one and another. And very importantly, the T, as we're learning in connect groups, as we have been doing in the last few weeks, telling others the good news, fulfilling that commission that Jesus gave to you and to me, go and make disciples of all nations, telling others the good news. Certainly in our group, and I think in all three groups, we're learning to be able to articulate our testimony. So it's not long-winded, it's not with jargon. It can be done quickly, but hopefully where God is in it and we use His word, it will have an impact. It will bring conviction and bring life. Hallelujah. Telling others, we must not hold back. So we have this parable. It's a parable of the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 18. He wants to highlight something for you and for me. And what I notice, and you will have noticed this before, the contrast, the real contrast between the unwilling judge and the willingness of God. What a contrast! That's one of the major themes of these short eight verses is, hey, God, unlike that man, unlike men and women today who do not fear God, who have little regard for man, God loves, God cares, and He will avenge, He will do justice, He will come to your aid. He's a good God. Hallelujah. And it's rooted in his sovereignty. It's rooted in who he is. Hallelujah. So Luke 18 verse 1 says, then Jesus spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not to lose heart, not to give up, not to faint. The Lord knows how frustrating life can be at times. And especially, you know, when prayers don't get answered. We've heard a testimony this morning of somebody who's been praying fairly consistently for 35, 36 years or whatever for a son to return and to make contact. They didn't give up. At times they may have felt like giving up, but they didn't. I'm so thankful for that encouragement. Don't give up. Whatever your circumstance might be this morning, which seems to be overwhelming you, take it to the Lord in prayer. Make sure, and this is again why as a fellowship at a church, we want everyone to be part of prayer triplets or prayer partners. And so that you've got somebody who you can confide in and say, hey, this is quite too much for me. I really need you to hold up your hands and for me to know that you're praying with me. Not praying in doubt, but praying in faith. God will answer. And there'll be many more testimonies for us to share, just because God loves. But also, please, folk, if you or somebody close to you is going through what may be regarded as an overwhelming situation, something that is could drown you if your eyes are not looking up unto Jesus, make sure you know what the Lord is saying to you in this, that he might be trying to get through to you, teach you a lesson, not, I mean, to go like that, but that you submit to him, yield to him, anything which is untoward. You know, the psalmist says in Psalm 139, search me, O God. Search me. Search my heart. See if there's any wicked, offensive way in me. Something that is grieving you and perhaps grieving others. And that it's rooted out. That I confess it and get right with you and lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me in the life. Lead me in truth. Lead me in victory. So if there is anything, friends, there may be something the Lord is gently reminding you of. You know, that's because he loves you. That's because he loves me. Those he loves, he does chasten. Those he loves, he does discipline. So make sure that you're hearing from the Lord. For those of us who perhaps have got burdens of sickness upon us and so on, the Lord has perhaps, he has caused it, but sometimes his protection is taken away for a moment that the enemy can take advantage. Now what God wants for us is to come back under his protection, come back under his word, come back under his power, his dominion, his kingdom, and see then what he will do. He wants us fruitful. He wants us to glorify Jesus. He's a good God. This woman was persistent figuratively, she could have given him a black eye because that's how she kept going to him. He would have nothing of it until he got fed up. God's not like that. Yes, we may have to persist in our petitioning, but we know that he is there. Sometimes, quickly, he does come to our aid. Hallelujah. Others, he's still got things he wants to teach us from his word for us to grow like him. But he's a loving God. Never, never doubt his love. He is a father to you and to me, if you're a child of God. And I realize that for some, that's a difficult proposition to take on board, God being a loving father. We may have had abusive relationships with our parents or grandparents. We may have been in situations where dad walked out and we didn't know a father's love. And it's difficult to comprehend how this holy, holy, holy God, who we cannot see, but is made known to us through Jesus Christ and the indwelling of his Holy Spirit, how he can love us when he sees us warts and all. He sees our sin. He sees our anger. He sees. And I pray that even this morning there will be a revelation of the Father heart of God to you. The Father heart of God for you. there'll be a revelation. And that what Satan has put on you to keep you from being, from receiving the adoption of a child of God, I pray that this morning there will be such an awakening of God's love, God's grace for you, that all thought that God cannot be a God of love, a father, a dad to you will be banished. And I pray that also whatever hurts, whatever damage has been done in your life, by words or actions, you will truly be able to lay it at the cross of Jesus and move forward. Something that perhaps you need to confess before the Lord. What a God we serve. Look, can we not have an amen here? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be his name. Don't quit now. You know, God is not unsympathetic. Aren't you pleased, friends, that even now our Lord Jesus Christ is interceding for you and for me? He's praying for us. He's talking to Father for you, for me. And although he may seem to delay, don't give up. I'm just saying three reasons to pray. There's many. What's the first one? Well, you're not going to get, there's no right or wrong. There's many reasons, but God hears, yes, that is a good one. Forgiveness of sins. Mercy. You've got it, woman. Jesus commands us to pray. He tells us to pray. He commands us to pray. So Jesus wants to hear us pray individually, as a family, and as a church. He commands us to pray. Thank you, dear sister. What better reason is there to pray than, hey, he's commanded us to pray? Yeah, he says also, pray for those who mistreat you. Pray for those who mistreat you. We are to pray for our daily sustenance. Jesus takes it for granted that we will pray. You remember the introduction to the what we call the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer. He says, when you pray, you know, go into your room, go into your closet, when you pray. So, you know, a prayerless Christian should be obsolete. It shouldn't be such a thing. Now, I know at times it's a struggle. The devil will try and keep us from prayer. He'll keep this church. He'll put things in our way. And our own nature and so on will think, okay. But friends, hey, if I don't pray in the morning, if you don't pray in the morning before you go to work, before you go to school, before you get your family ready for whatever, before you go into town shopping, if you don't pray, you're basically saying, I don't need you today, God. I don't need you today, God. I don't need you. I can do it myself. So don't be surprised when things go pear-shaped. But when you do pray, you know, Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher, the Metropolitan Tabernacle says, you know, he said something like this. When I don't pray, coincidences don't seem to happen. But when I pray, coincidences do happen. Divine appointments happen. It's because God wants us to pray. And I need God. I need the Lord. I'm desperate. I'm a needy person. This is a needy church. I need him. You need him in your marriage. You need him at work. You need him to be in charge, to help you to be wise with your finances. We need him. So if we are going the day, if we start the day and prayerless, and I know the pressures on time, but, you know, I know my fellow Elder Colin talks about the arrow prayers. They don't have to be long-winded. In fact, the Lord doesn't want us vain repetitioning those arrow prayers. And not just praying for myself, for our loved ones, but praying scripture over other members of the family of God. We've talked about this before. Ephesians, good one. So many prayers in Ephesians that Paul is praying for the church and saying, hey, this morning, Lord, over sister so-and-so, over brother so-and-so, over that family, I'm praying for this prayer, this promise. You will fulfill it, please, Lord, in your good time. What a privilege to take everything to God in prayer. What we lose out by not taking God to prayer. This is an encouragement, because if we're going to see this place full, if we're going to see the surrounding area really impacted with the gospel, with the good news, hey, friends, we need to have been on our knees, really on our knees. Hallelujah. So Jesus does command us to pray. He works with prayer. Say, but doesn't the Lord know everything? Doesn't he know what's happening in the future? So why pray? That's a good question. But Jesus said, pray. Look, God knows, as it were, what is happening, what the future is. Praise God. But you and I don't. We don't. So we put our trust in one who does, so that he can prepare us and bring us into that place where we're fruitful, useful, obedient, loving. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Prayer is God's idea then, okay? And the blessings that come, the blessings that come from faithful praying. I'm sure if we went round this congregation this morning, we heard a wonderful testimony this morning, all to the glory of God. I'm sure there'll be other testimonies as well. There's a hymn, one of the lines says, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. I like that. Satan will keep you from praying, but when you get on your knees, and it's a faithful prayer, and it might just be, God help me! That's a narrow prayer. Satan doesn't like that. But you're putting your trust in God, and you're turning your back, you're resisting Satan. Number two, prayer is God's way for us to obtain what we need. Not what we want, but what we need. It's God's way to give us that which will do us good and will make us fruitful and useful. You know what James says in chapter 4 and verse 2? You do not have. You see, you ask not. You've asked not, so you haven't got it. Okay? So we're not talking about the name and claim and treating God as a puppet for us to pull him and to do it to our will. We're praying because we want God's will done. In my life, in our family, in our marriage, in our work, and in this fellowship, in this church. That's great. So that's the way, you know. And also, number three, prayer is God's way for us to overcome anxiety. Hallelujah. Nothing is too big or too small to bring to God in prayer. And let's just read for our instruction, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's the command, isn't it? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. So whatever is really, really troubling you, let your requests be made known to God. And the promise is, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So therefore, friends, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. We must open up our hearts to him. Friends, let's be careful that we don't, as it were, reduce the infinite God to our finite way of thinking. In other words, don't place a limit on God. Please do not place any limit on the Lord. You know, the Lord himself said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Jeremiah responds so emphatically. He says, there is nothing too hard for you. There is nothing too difficult for you. So if you've got something and you've in your heart, in your mind, you're saying this is too much, this is too difficult for the Lord, then you are doubting God and he will not hear you. Pray and do not lose heart. Pray and don't give up. You see, friends, we're in fact lying to God if we don't rely on his resources. Take everything to God in prayer. Prayer is a gift. It's a grace from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's independent in some ways of our activity. He gives us. I can understand the disciples saying, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. You know, friends, I want to grow more and more like the Lord Jesus. Jesus spent all night. He prayed. Say, yeah, Jesus knew what he was going to have to go through, but he still prayed. He prayed to God. Lord, he prayed for strength. He prayed for that he would be emboldened. He prayed for those who were his enemies. He prayed. Yeah, God knows the future. You know, I think about when he was at the grave of Lazarus. Now, he knew that Lazarus would be raised up. He knew that. But he still wept with Mary and Martha. I like that. So he knows the good outcome that there will come. But he's also presently, as it were, weeping with you, that sympathetic God, and wants to give you hope. I am the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. He is the resurrection and the life. And I want to be like the Lord Jesus. You know, you the people you hang out with, you often sort of take on board. And if it's negative things, if you're not careful, you become like them. If you're around people all the time, and of course in work situations, or perhaps in an unbelieving family, that is a challenge. But we are different. If you have the Spirit of the Lord, if you have the life within, you can rise above. But we do, if we're not careful. You know, we've been talking recently about, and we did in the Connect group, about Paul, when Paul says, imitate me as I follow Jesus. We want to be people who others want to imitate and follow us. That person has been with Jesus. That person knows how to pray. That person knows how to see answers to prayer and deliverance. Now, I want to look like Jesus. I want to spend my time with Jesus Christ. And part of that is praying. Every day, friends, we need a fresh touch of his hand as we go out to live, as we go out to our workplace, as we go and do business with our family. In this busy age, we need that fresh touch of his hand. Every day we need to hear the whisper of his voice to keep us calm, to keep us serene in what is a rabble of a coarse world. Prayerlessness is an insult to God. I don't want to lean on my own wisdom and my own understanding. I want God's wisdom, and I thank God he gives it. Neglecting prayer, either at home or in the church, is not just a weakness. It's a sinful choice that you have made. Repent quickly. Repent quickly. Hallelujah. I'm also thankful that God doesn't keep office hours. Aren't you? I'm thankful God doesn't keep office hours. God steps into our present to motivate us to pray. Jeremiah says, call to me and I will answer you. And I will tell you what great and mighty things, things you did not know. The last verse of our parable, verse 8, says, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth. And that's interesting that he links this to praying and receiving prayers and God responding to our prayers. What he's saying is that, hey, there is going to be times of opposition, times of persecution, times of trouble, times of sickness and so on. Don't give up because the Son of Man is coming. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. Stay faithful to me, the Lord is saying. Stay faithful to the Word of God. Don't faint. Don't give up. It's not time to bail out. He wants you to remain faithful, to persist in prayer. So this parable, if you like, is essentially an encouragement to continue in prayer without losing heart, right through the difficult times of opposition, the time of waiting before the Son of Man comes. Folk, mountains can only be climbed when the knees are bent. We must pray and have faith in God who says, with me, all things are possible. And that because we are growing like Christ, even in our prayer life, we can do all things through him who strengthens us. We've had prophetic words. We know that this church is increasingly going to be an ark, a refuge. It will be a place for the infirm and the affirmed or infirmed, where sick people are made whole. But what God is saying, that we must not limp along in unbelief. It will be an ark. It will be a refuge. It will be, if you will, a hospital. But even more than that, the Lord is saying it is to be a military outpost under his orders to storm the gates of hell. Hallelujah.